This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello in studio with you, and I'm joined on the line this week. We're doing a little social distancing thing with Ben Ettridge. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Another crazy weekend in NBL One West. However, again, everyone's health and safety is paramount, and we abide by the guidelines, and hopefully, again, we see some live basketball action this weekend.
Well, when I reflected on last week's show, we did reiterate a bit of a disclaimer. Please make sure you check all your local guides, because it's a moving feast, and it was certainly a moving feast right up until the death knoll. Basketball obviously affected and obliterated across that weekend. The derby with no crowds, and it was all happening.
Look, it was a very weird weekend. All plans were in place, and had a couple of friends who'd come up to watch the derby over the weekend, and to have their plans cut short literally as they got out of the car or set foot in the metro area was quite a shock to them. So, but again, it's about everyone's health and safety, and we're doing all the right things. So hopefully we're out of masks as soon as possible.
It was interesting because a couple of indoor sports initially thought that they were going to be able to go ahead and play. The likes of netball was one example. Basketball had already declared that it hadn't, you know, wasn't able to go ahead. And I think they were a trigger for some other sports actually checking the details a little bit closer and finding out that, well, actually, in fact, probably we can't go ahead unless we're going to be fully masked.
And it was an interesting one for me. As a father of three, I had two games of netball that I attended on the weekend, both outdoors, and masks were supposedly in place, and social distancing, and they went ahead easily. And then on Sunday, two games of soccer, went and was a part of those. And again, people around, social distancing in masks, and it'd be very interesting to sort of flesh that one out a bit further as to see, you know, why the decision was made, given, you know, that the other sports were going ahead, and what are the contingency plans so that we can see some basketball in the near future?
Well, fortunately, in this week's show, we're going to be speaking with a man who could hopefully give us not exactly all the answers, but hopefully a bit of a pathway at least anyway. Adam Bowler, he's a general manager of the NBL One West, and he runs the league on behalf of BWA and the NBL One here in the West. So we're going to be having him on the show as well. Plenty of other action. We've got 2019 Women's MVP Stacey Barr. We're going to be chatting with her a little bit later on as well. And a couple of new segments. We're taking you back with the Lost SBL segment. This week we're going to be taking a detailed look at the very first year of the SBL, 1989. And we're also going into the NBL One Watch segment. Now, what's that all about, Ben? NBL One Watch.
Keeping an eye on those WA boys and those that have played in the former SBL, and seeing what they're up to and what they're doing in the various NBL One leagues around the country.
Looking forward to that. We'll talk more on the other side of this.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello in studio with you, and I'm joined on the line by Ben Ettridge and also the general manager of NBL One West, Adam Bowler. How are you going?
I'm good, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've got the job that no one else probably wants too much at the moment. Plenty of challenges in trying to organise a league in the middle of a pandemic. How are you holding up?
Yeah, look, it's to be perfectly honest, it's been pretty deflating with two false starts after just so much excitement and build up to the NBL One season. And we all know we got off to a good start in week one, and we got a little teaser of what to come. And obviously, it's just been really disappointing, and I'm feeling for the players and the coaches who have just prepared so long and put so much into it. To have the rug pulled from under them at the last minute on two weekends it's been really tough, and the clubs have taken a big financial hit, and we can all understand everyone's frustration, and we just want to get back out on the court.
Yes, I'm sure we're certainly looking forward to the action. The players must be chomping at the bit as well. There's even a couple of teams that haven't had a game yet. Maybe they missed out in round one. Ben's in that category as well at the moment.
Yeah, I know the Kalamunda boys are chomping at the bit up the hill there, and the girls as well, to actually get out and have a hit out.
Are you holding out much hope, Adam, for this weekend, or what's the plan B or the contingencies at the moment?
Yeah, look, as we all know, it's such a movable feast at the moment, and it's changing every day, and even for... For whatever time you're listening to this, I'm sure it's the advice has changed, and you know, fingers crossed, no further outbreaks going forward, and we can get underway this weekend. But I think initially we have to make the call on Friday night with restrictions in place. So the two games planned for Friday night will be moved, and we're hoping to put those games to later, either on the Saturday or the Sunday this coming weekend. And you know, it's pink round. It's we've got some big things in place for the BCNA to raise some funds there. So, you know, everything we can do to get on the court and celebrate pink round would be fantastic. So I am hopeful.
Have you any contingency or plan B if for any reason this weekend turns out to be another whitewash? Would you seek to reschedule that pink round and connect it to another round perhaps?
Yeah, potentially. There's no reason why we can't. I obviously, you know, we're still liaising with our clubs, and I want to be careful what information I give out, as we need to discuss everything with the clubs and see what they're comfortable doing. But
sure.
But one general consensus we have with all the clubs is that we're not willing to play in masks. It's just too restrictive. It's too difficult, especially at such a high level. There's obviously difficulties when you need to communicate on the court, and even as far as your referees, trying to officiate a game and blow a whistle in a mask is something. It's one thing we all agree that we're not willing to do at this stage.
From that organisation standpoint, and given through last season, and the reality is that this is going to be here for a while. We're not, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but that's a very long tunnel we're in. Now, how much planning has been put in from one as a whole, given the whole country's involved in this, that, you know, the running of the COVID season, so to speak? You know, we've sort of discussed we're not going to play in masks, but is there different levels at which are acceptable? You know, as we've seen in the NBL and the NBA and all the Euro leagues, we've got guys coming back now from Euro leagues that you know, have played and they're in quarantine and have managed to get through a season. What's the governing body that's sort of running the league now? What is the direction that they're giving you as to what's acceptable and what's not? Not just, no, if we have to play in masks, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's still early days from us in the planning phases of what to do if this lasts longer than a few more weeks. The NBL, they do let us operate our own league and make our own rules. I mean, obviously, we have the national finals scheduled later in the year, which does make it difficult to extend the season into a later date. But we just need to keep following government and health advice like we have been all along, and try and get these games played. And if that means, you know, playing more double headers, playing midweek games, playing over the long weekend break, the clubs have just been fantastic in what they've been willing to do. And I'm sure, Ben, you would know this, the players and the coaches, they just want to get out on the court. And whatever we need to do to make that happen, I think we'll be more accommodating to make it happen.
It's good that you mentioned a couple of those things, because Ben and I have spoken about it in previous weeks. We obviously lost round two. That seemed like it would maybe be easy enough to slot in somewhere. You had the bye week already in the schedule and things like that. Then we've lost round three as well, and we're already shuffling games. And as you mentioned, with the national tournament, it is getting quite difficult and a bit tight to slot all those games into a place.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the end of the day, we want to try and do everything we can to not reduce the season. We want to play as many games as we can as fixtured, but it just might mean a few more double headers. I mean, the Metro clubs, I'm sure, would be happy to play midweek games if required and more double headers. The hardest thing in this equation is fitting in the Kalgoorlie and Geraldton games, and we've already had some discussions with them, and they completely understand they may need to host some Sunday games, and if that's the case, our clubs will have to travel up there a little bit differently this year and maybe play a double header up in Kalgoorlie or Geraldton. So, we'll keep discussing with our clubs and we'll come up with the best solutions. But as I said before, at the end of the day, we want to play the 22 games in the men's and the 19 games in the women, and that's the goal, and we'll try and stick to that.
I can see that Goldfields are due to host Geraldton this weekend on Saturday, 7 p.m. there up in Kalgoorlie. If Geraldton was able to travel to Cal without coming through Perth, I don't know what their usual schedule is in terms of that. Is that a game that could be able to go ahead anyway, as you understand it?
It is, except for one little problem, and that's our referees. I've been liaising with both clubs today, and Geraldton would take a bus to Kalgoorlie. That's no problem, and they're all able to play without masks with full crowds, which would be really exciting. We just have to work out how to get officials there. And, you know, we've been working on these exemptions now for a long time to try and allow our referees to officiate without masks. With not much luck yet, but our Deputy CEO, Evan Stewart, has just been working around the clock to try and get this exemption put through, and he's been fantastic with his connections and his leadership. And, you know, I do have faith in him to try and get that through. But at the end of the day, we just need to keep following the health advice. And, you know, if we can't get referees up there, what does that mean? I'm not too sure.
Given the broken nature of the season already, and, you know, if we were to, you know, if and the news you listen to around the place that we could be in masks for another 4 weeks and suddenly we're at week eight and we're not going to be able to fit in those full rounds, do we, you know, from a milestone perspective, we've got guys that are around the league that played, you know, a full season or what it was last year. Do we ever revisit it and say, you know what, these guys that did go out and play, that we do count those on their all-time records? Do we give them the due that they did play during the tough circumstances, and we recognise those 12 or 13 games that the guys played, and they can put those on their all-time records?
Yeah, Ben, it's a good question. And I suppose it's something we still need to talk through, and we're open to all kinds of ideas. And you're right, there's a lot of people who deserve recognition, and we've seen what's happened with Darren Ralph at the moment, and it's just, I feel for the bloke. He's been stuck on 399, I believe, since COVID first hit, and I think it's four or five false starts now. And, you know, he deserves to go out there and be recognised for his contribution to the league, for sure. And so, yeah, look, it's something we're going to have to keep talking with the clubs with, we'll work with them and what their advice is. But yeah, it's certainly something that I'm not shutting off, for sure.
Adam, we don't envy you at the moment, but we do appreciate all of your efforts, and we encourage everyone to keep checking their socials, NVL1 West on Facebook and Instagram and so on, and also on the website, of course, as well.
Thanks, guys. And I will finish with, you know, Jared Prue said to me the other day, at the end of the day, it's just basketball. And on reflecting that, you know, while basketball means so much to so many of us, seeing the devastation over in India right now and around the world, it's just heartbreaking. And I suppose it puts everything in perspective. And if we just take a step back and really think about how lucky we are, it's okay, and it won't be long before we're back on the court and we can really put on a show from the West. So thank you to you too for committing to the show and continuing what you're doing even through this tough time. You're doing a great job, and the league's really proud of you both for what you're doing.
We appreciate it, Adam. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Adam Bowler there, General Manager of the NBL One West. We'll be back with more NBL One West radio after this, including Stacey Barr, 2019 MVP in the Women's League, to come before too long.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett Costello with you. I'm on the line with Ben Ettridge, and now we're joined by Stacey Barr, the 2019 Women's League MVP, and you're going to go down in history as the final SBL MVP as well. Congratulations once again.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us. How are things going for you in this COVID-disrupted season?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been an interesting start. I think, you know, last year kind of prepped us for it, but going into this season, we all thought we were going to play, and playing that first round, and then Spanner in the works, and now it's kind of all up in the air. So, yeah, it's a little bit disappointing, but obviously there's bigger things going on.
For sure.
In the world.
Never nice to have a loss in that first round either, because you've had to stick with that now for quite a few weeks. You haven't been able to wipe the slate clean.
Well, fortunately, we got to back it up the next day and we did get a win. But yeah, just having that first game. So we kind of split the weekend. We had a doubleheader. So got the loss and then got the win the next night. But yeah, definitely we were ready to get back on and play the Hawks the week after and try and get another win on the board.
Fantastic.
From a player's perspective, how you maintain the motivation? I know you said we sort of got a bit of a dry run last year, but the season ran pretty much from start to finish without an interruption. How has it been being able to go to practice, then not go to practice, and then all the other things that are going on? What are your thoughts on that?
So far, it's been okay, because we actually, going into that round two, we thought we were going to play. So we trained Tuesday, trained Thursday, and then obviously the announcement came, I think it was Friday, and then... yeah, it was all up in the air again this week. But, yeah, you just kind of prepare that Tuesday, Thursday, thinking you're going to play. But now it's all really uncertain. So this week will be interesting, you know, with the masks on and not actually knowing if we're going to play on the weekend or not. So I think that'll make it a little bit different to previous weeks.
You guys are due to host the Southwest Slammers, assuming that everything goes ahead smoothly. That's Saturday, May 8th at 5 p.m. What are you expecting for the Southwest? They've had a slowish start, coming off a couple of losses. How are you guys preparing to face them on the weekend?
Yeah, well, that's the last team we played. So we played them in round one. So got to play them again pretty soon after that. So that's going to be our last game. It's going to be our next game. And it should be good. I think that they'll have a couple more weeks under their belt and come out firing, and would have looked at game tape and maybe made a few changes. It's exciting for us as well. We've got Nicole's 400th game, so hopefully she gets to finally play that after the lead up to playing her 400th and getting cancelled and then happening again. So that'll be exciting when it gets to finally happen.
In fact, it's something that we spoke to Bowler about earlier, some of the milestones that have really been pushed back and pushed back. Aaron Ralph is another one in the men's who's been sitting on that 399 games. So I really hope that both of them get to continue through that this weekend as well.
Yeah, I hope so too. It'll be good for her to get out there and play it.
And for yourself, continuing on and building on that fantastic 2019 MVP season, then obviously we had the West Coast Classic in between. Have you set some personal goals for yourself this year, or is it more of a team-based outlook?
Yeah, I think more of a team-based outlook, especially after, you know, making it to finals and getting knocked out. So I think we've, you know, all come back hungry and want to build on that, and new coaching staff, and I think just working hard during the preseason and having a new game plan. And each week, you know, setting goals individually and for the team, just depending on who we're playing. But obviously, the end goal, getting to that championship game.
Fantastic. We wish you all the best for that. We're going to ask you to stay on the line, because after the break, we're going to come back and preview all of the women's matches. Assuming they go ahead, of course, do check your local guides, as we always like to say now, after this.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back. It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello, Ben Ettridge, and we're still on the line with Stacey Barr, a star from the Warwick Senators here in the NBL One West. Just taking a look now at the fixtures forthcoming on the weekend. We've already mentioned your matchup between the Southwest Slammers and the Warwick Senators. Also on Saturday, the Mandurah Magic will be hosting the Coburn Cougars. That's a tip-off at 5 p.m. down there at Mandurah Aquatic and Rec Centre. The Magic with a win and a loss, the Cougars with one win. What do you make of this matchup, Stacey?
Yeah, I think Mandurah are pretty tough always on their home court, so I think it'll be a good matchup. Coburn are recruited well, and I think, you know, their game last week, they started off really well, so I think that'll be a really good game.
Also on Saturday, 6 p.m. tip-off at the Lakeside Rec Centre, as the Lakeside one loss so far go up against the East Perth Eagles, who have got a loss and a win under their belt.
Yeah, I think Lakeside had that big loss in round one to Willerton, I think it was. So I'm sure they'll be eager to get back out there and get on the winning side of things.
Then also Saturday night, 6 p.m. tip-off down there at Mike Barnett Sports Complex, as the Flames, coming off a loss in the opening round, take on the Willerton Tigers, who have got one win under their belt so far.
I think Willerton are going to be pretty tough this year. They've, you know, recruited well, and that first game put up big numbers. So I think they're definitely going to be a team to watch. And once again, I think that'll be a pretty good matchup, as Rockingham are always tough at their home court as well.
The Perry Lakes Lady Hawks will travel to Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre to take on the Perth Redbacks. This will actually be the first match for the Hawks, who played Kalgoorlie in the opening round. So, of course, going to be playing their first game. So not really much form to work with off this game, but have you got a tip as to who may be taking the lead there?
Yeah, I think they'll be really excited to get out there. I know, speaking to a couple of the girls, that each week they've been pretty pumped to get in there and then have it cancelled. So, yeah, I think the Hawks will come out and put up a good fight.
And then also on the Saturday, but it's a 7 p.m. tip-off, HBF Arena, the Joondalup Wolves will be hosting the Eastern Suns, who are the other women's team who haven't yet played a match either.
Yeah, I think Wolves, you know, were a big contender last year, and I think they're going to be a tough team to beat this year. So I think the other Wolves will come out on top on that one.
And then finally, one of the fixtures that's been moved from the Friday night, obviously to accommodate these restrictions that we've been talking about, onto the Sunday, down there at Eaton Rec Centre, the Southwest Slammers are hosting the Rockingham Flames. Southwest will also be coming off that earlier match that we've already spoken about there as well.
Yeah, so it'll be tough for them to back it up, having to come down to Perth and then go back home and play again. Yeah, I think Rockingham will get up on that one.
That one tips off down at the Eaton Rec Centre at 5 p.m. Stacey, we thank you so much for your time and joining us and giving us some insights into the women's game as well.
No worries. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, and good luck for the weekend, and hopefully you do get a game, and hopefully the season flows on very smoothly from here. We can only keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, fingers crossed.
Thanks once again.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, Ben and Brett with you. It's time to take a look at the proposed NBL One West action for this weekend. And as we keep saying to you, please do check your local guides. Link with the NBL One West on the socials. Check nbl1.com.au for all the latest information. But as it stands right now, round four action, a special breast cancer awareness round as well.
Yeah, this is a great cause, and one of the many causes that the SBL NBL One West supports throughout the year. And as part of that, in conjunction with a local artist, I'm wearing a pair of customised Air Force Ones with a breast cancer awareness message, and taking donations via my Facebook page. And over the course of the next week or so, the person who donates the most money to the cause will be the recipient of a brand new pair of Air Force Ones customised in the breast cancer awareness colours.
Well, fantastic. Appreciate your efforts alongside what the NBL One is doing with the play for BCNA round, of course. It kicks off on Saturday, as we've discussed earlier on, with Adam Bowler riding off the Friday night games at this point. So the men's is 5 p.m, so just be aware of some various time changes as well this round, in support of, I guess, Mother's Day and the breast cancer awareness type of round. 5 p.m. tip-off for the men's fixture. Joondalup Wolves hosting the Eastern Suns, finally going to get their first game under their belt, fingers crossed.
And the boys can't wait, and having seen the Joondalup Wolves firsthand in week one, I'm really looking forward to this game. And if it's anything like last year's game, it was a Trianuliadis three-pointer on the buzzer that beat us. But given the improvements that we've made, and again, tipping with my heart, I think the Eastern Suns will get on the board with their first win in their first game of NBL One West.
Also a 5 p.m. tip-off for the men on Saturday out at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre as the Redbacks host the Perry Lakes Hawks.
I think the Perry Lakes Hawks will be too battle-hardened and too stable at the moment for the Redbacks, although interestingly enough, Marshall Nelson is back from Iceland and quarantining on the eastern seaboard as we speak, so whether he's available, if not this weekend, very, very soon. So, but the Perry Lakes for me.
It's a 7 p.m. tip-off at the Mandurah Aquatic Centre for the men as the Magic host the Coburn Cougars. The Magic with a win and a loss under their belt. The Coburn Cougars with just a loss so far and obviously looking to get on the board in 2021.
I think we'll see a different Coburn Cougars outfit this week with Cooper being given an extra week to prepare his troops. And I think given their depth and Gab Field and Nick Posiglou, I think they'll be a little bit too much to handle for the Mandurah Magic.
We spoke about this next fixture earlier on as well. Another Saturday 1, 7 p.m. tip-off there at Niels Hansen Basketball Stadium in the Goldfields as the Giants host the Geraldton Buccaneers.
And as much as it'd be a fairy tale for Aaron Ralph to play his 400th game and get the win, I feel the Goldfields Giants will just be too steady and too stable, given that their preparation hasn't been as interrupted with the Cyclone and not have a court to train on, so the Goldfields Giants to get this one.
A tale of two stories sees the Warwick Senators host the Southwest Slammers at Warwick, 7 p.m. tip-off there in men's action. The Senators with two wins under their belt, the Slammers unfortunately two losses so far in 2021.
And I think they'll continue on that vein. The Warwick Senators are firming as one of the title favourites in the NBL One West, and I think they'll be far too strong for the Southwest Slammers.
The Lakeside Lightning, 8 p.m. tip-off there at the Lakeside Recreation Centre, hosting the East Perth Eagles on Saturday. Form to date, the Lightning with a loss under their belt and the Eagles with a loss and a win to date.
I can't see the Lightning losing many more this season as they start to, as we said in week one, get all those guys back together. Jack Eisenbarger and Jay Bowie playing together is a formidable import combo, and I just think there's too much firepower there, especially if the likes of Corey Sherville is going to get a run as well. So I think, yeah, the Lightning in this one.
The final of the Saturday night fixtures is an 8 p.m. tip-off for the men. The Rockingham Flames coming off a win, hosting the Willerton Tigers, who have also opened season 2021 with a win.
And a milestone again. Hopefully Ryan Godfrey gets to play 250, given that it was taken away last week. Being down at the Mike Barnett Sports Complex with their three-point cannons ready to go, I think on their home court. Greg Heyer back an extra week to get his body right. I think they'll be too strong for the Wilton Tigers.
And the final fixture of the round, assuming that the rejigged round all goes ahead smoothly, the Friday night game being moved to Sunday, May 9. It's a 7 p.m. tip-off at the Eaton Rec Centre as the Southwest Slammers host the Rockingham Flames.
And a tough one, and I'll put this as a danger game for the Flames, given the emotion that'll be around Boof's 250th the night before. And then again, the availability of Greg Heyer. Can he play doubleheaders throughout the season? I really like it when the Southwest Slammers have their backs against the wall, having played Stirling Warwick the night before. I think where they'll have them up and about, and if the Flames don't come to play, this could be a lot closer than it looks. But I'll have the Flames squeaking this one out. Maybe even tip overtime down there on the Sunday.
Check out all the details at nbl1.com.au and keep up to date with latest releases through the socials. We've still got our Lost NBL segment to come. In NBL One Watch, we'll be taking a look at West Aussies performing in other NBL One conferences as well. More to come on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From X-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. A new segment for you that we're going to continue on week in, week out, assuming we've got time and we also remember. It's called Lost SBL, and each week we're going to spend a time talking about 1 year from the SBL. It ended up being a 30-year league that ran from 89 right through to 2019. So I figure we've got plenty of content in there to talk about. And we're going to kick off with the inaugural year, 1989, a league that was born out of the old Districts Basketball Association. Have you got some memories of that, Ben?
I certainly do. As a 15, 16-year-old, I just moved up from Katanning in the Central Wheat Belt. Going to the SBL games on a Friday, Saturday night was a highlight of the week, and I remember spending a lot of time first of all, at Willetton Stadium and Coburn Stadium, the two local stadiums closest to me. And then as we got our licence and we were able to journey around Perth, we were driving down to Bunbury to watch games. We were out in Midland watching the Swan City Mustangs and up the old Wanneroo Road to see the Wanneroo Wolves as they were then play. So lots of fond memories and essentially, you know, that formed my love of the game.
Well, many of the teams that you mentioned are not necessarily around right now. You spoke of the Swan City Mustangs. The Wace Warriors were also in that inaugural 89 season, led by Warren Coon. We also had the likes of the Rainbow Coast Raiders, no longer around these days as well, the Albany team.
And the Albany Raiders were, in fact, the first indoor game of basketball that I could go and watch. I, as I said, lived in Katanning, and we drove down to Albany, and we would watch them play on a Saturday night, and then to watch the live product that we were used to, we're starting to watch on Channel 7 in the Wildcats, to be able to go and watch a show like that with American imports running around and guys that were down from Perth and playing on the Raiders team. It was just amazing for a 13 and 14-year-old kid to be sitting in a stadium watching it all unfold in front of him.
That inaugural 89 season saw the Geraldton Buccaneers and the Perry Lakes Hawks atop of the regular season ladder with a 19-win and 3-loss record. But it was actually the Perth Redbacks that managed to get the cookies at the end of the regular season, defeating the Buccaneers in the grand final 114-89.
And I've discussed this at length, the former championship teams and those early teams of the Redbacks featured very prominently in who were the best teams of the SBL, and any team that had someone like Darryl Pace and Craig Evans on it was always going to be competitive. But then you throw in the two of the living legends, Andrew Vlahoff and Luke Longley, they formed a very formidable front court, and some not many teams could handle them.
Another snippet of information, the Swan City Mustangs going winless that season, a 0-22 season, but they certainly turned it around the next year in 1990, getting a 23-3 win season to take out the minor premiership. So certainly turning it around in the space of one season, the Swan City Mustangs.
Massive turnaround there, and I think it was the incoming of Norm Majors that saw that turnaround happen, and again, attracting a few quality players to the Midland Aquatic Centre out there and setting that stadium on fire as they did, scorching the league.
89 was also the most competitive year for the Wace Warriors. We mentioned them earlier on. For some people who don't know, there used to be sort of a basketball program through the WA Institute of Sport, probably before BWA took that back under their wing and in their sort of high-performance program. Wastes were generally on the bottom of the ladder in subsequent years before they were eventually phased out after the 91 season, but they saw themselves to a 6-16 record in 89.
And the advent of that Waste Warriors team, we saw a lot of the living legends of the SBL cut their teeth, guys like Mike Forsyth, Brad Council, Gavin Vanderputten, Troy Clark, the all-time games leader. Those guys all came through that system, and it was a great system, a bit like a college system. They're only there for a short time, and they go back and play for their respective clubs. And look, you know, they do hold the record of Dan Hunt scoring 82 points against them in a game. So, you know, there's a few records there that won't be broken. But yeah, the Waste Warriors were, again, a fun team to go and watch because it was a lot of guys your own age playing in the SBL. So it was something to sort of aspire to and see what they were doing.
It was a very successful year for the Redbacks that year, also winning the women's competition 79-66 over the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Yeah, those early Redbacks teams, as you can see, on both sides, men's and women's, very successful and you know, set them up for decades of success in the SBL.
The women's MVP that year was Sue Arthur, at that time playing for the Coburn Cougars, a legend down there.
And in the men's side, we saw a dual MVP, the living legend at the Willen Tigers, Jeff Anderson, and former Wildcat Pete Hansen, both tied for the MVP that year.
Fantastic. There's certainly plenty of history in the SBL, and we look forward to bringing it to you each and every week. I hope you've enjoyed our opening there, 1989, the year that was Lost SBL, here on the NBL One West radio show.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, Ben Ettridge, Brett Costello with you. We're social distancing. I've got Ben on the line for that exact purpose. A new segment that we're going to hopefully try and keep a regular eye on. Guys who are familiar to us from either the SBL or the now NBL One West, who are applying their trade in some of the other conferences of the NBL One. And I know you've been following a few guys in particular, Ben.
And as we've been starved of the basketball action over here, it's been great to jump on the NBL One website and click around and find the game of the week or the best game at the time and watch those games evolve. And look, it's been great to see a couple of local boys in Brian Michaels and Shaq Maharaj over there in the NBL One Central in their respective clubs. Brian Michaels showing us what he was when he was here, which is a pure scorer, averaging 19 points a game. And Shaq sort of settling into a role in his team. He's only averaging 10 points a game, which is not sort of how he set the league on fire over here, but learn to ply his trade and be a pro and be that guy that's brought in to do a job. And, you know, a guy that's floated around the league for a couple of years, Ernest Ross, lighting the league up, had a Player of the Week performance just this week gone by and averaging 23. And Dave Humphreys, a really, really solid guy who we perhaps didn't see the best of when he was at the Giants due to a few injuries. He's averaging 17 points a game and just being that quality player and guard that fits this type of league where he's a great shooter and a great ball handler. So, good to see those four boys doing a great job there.
There's a former SBL MVP who's plying his trade in some of the other conferences as well.
Yeah, so in NBL One South, we've got Ray Turner, who's probably headed east to try and get that NBL crack, and he did a couple of years ago with the Sydney Kings. He's doing what he does, averaging a double-double, 23 points and 11 rebounds a game. And great, again, as we've mentioned a couple of times, Norm Manyang, Diamond Valley, sit atop the NBL One South conference, and he's averaging 15 points a game and is a massive contributor for them at the moment. And also Mason Bragg, who played for the East Perth Eagles and had a run with the Wildcats down there in Tasmania, doing what he does, averaging 8 points, 4 rebounds and 3 assists as a starting point guard. So, you know, it's been great to be able to jump on and watch these guys and follow them. You don't get to see them all the time, so that ability to jump on and watch them live and, as I said, watch the last quarters of games when it's coming down to the wire has just been excellent.
I guess as the season goes on and maybe the NBL starts to wind down as well, there'll be some other guys who'll start to make an appearance with their affiliated NBL One club as well. I know the likes of Sunday is there, Kernich Drew is connected to a club. There's plenty of guys who we're eventually going to get to see playing as well.
Yeah, that's great. And that's what it's about. And already as we're sitting here watching these different leagues play, teams will start to look at what they need, and it might not be someone in the starting five, but there's opportunities that are going to open up for those younger guys, those bench players that could fill a hole and give them the opportunity to travel west, and clubs can look after them and find them a job and somewhere to live. They might be over here playing in our league, and being able to see them play firsthand and watch how they react to different situations goes a long way in that scouting. You're not just looking at a 5-minute highlight tape on YouTube where you don't see everything. You're actually getting to see them play full games and how they react and how they do different things. So just an amazing opportunity that's been presented to all these guys around Australia.
We'd certainly encourage everyone, if you haven't already done so, to go to nbl1.com.au or download the NBL app. You can check out all of the games online, whether it be from the NBL One West Conference or any of the other conferences as well. We'll be back with more NBL One West Radio Show after this.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
As we round out this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Good chat with Adam Bowler. I thought great to get some insights into what's happening behind the scenes.
And a really good chat with Adam to see that all the things that the players and coaches are currently feeling with the anxiety about, are we going to play on the weekend and when are we going to get back to normal? Exactly the same at the top end in the administration. You know, there's our general manager who's going through all those same emotions and feelings. So we're all feeling it, and we're all in it together, as they say. And we want to get out and play basketball, and you know, following the guidelines that were being set and adhering to the mask laws and all that sort of stuff, I guess is going to get us there a lot quicker than if we weren't.
Fantastic to hear from Stacey Barr with some insights into the women's game as well. We hope you enjoyed our new segments, Lost SBL and also the NBL One Watch. We hope to continue those on for you in future weeks of the show as well. And now, fingers crossed, Ben, of course, the big one is hopefully all of this weekend's games can go ahead smoothly and this local COVID is sort of under control.
Yeah, and all the best to Ryan Godfrey and hopefully Aaron Ralph, who get to play those milestone games on the weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. Look forward to talking to you again next week. Maybe we can declare the social distancing over by then and we can get you back in the studio as well.
Looking forward to it.
I wonder if Chris Pike will ever resurface also. We'll give him a shout out too.
Yep, hope he's doing better. I saw he was under the weather a bit there for a week or so. So, yep, all the best to Chris and hope to talk to you soon.
Until next week, have a good one. This is the NBL One West Radio Show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.